Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Phila impilo yakho nathi. Ngena ku radiopulpit.co.za. Umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
657 AM Radio Pulpit coming to you live. We trust the Father is doing you good, gracing you so much in a mighty way. You and I, the best of friends, this is happening throughout up to the hour 8. My name is Ray. Thank you so much to Johan Els for taking care of business, man. He's been going on with it. And of course, wow, I saw the visuals, man. You are broadcasting from such a nice place today. You know, I was in Studio 8 for almost 5 hours, if not five. And when you were sending the pictures, I was just watching and saying, wow, man, wish I was there. Anyway. It's Wednesday Live. It's just going to be fun. It's just going to be beautiful. It's your talk show. And thank you so much. We're back on 657 AM. And of course, we just thank the Father, man. We thank the Father for seeing us through and bringing us back into 657 AM. And the multitudes of people can get hold of us, man. Welcome back. And it's nice. I see, you know, I just wish we can hug. You know, those people, give me a hug. I just wish we can hug and just say, you know, welcome back. We thank the Father that you're back. We are grateful that you're back. Something like that, you know, because he's a good shepherd. And speaking of such, hey, here's a song.
Connecting you with Christ. Download our app and listen to our podcasts.
At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day. If you believe we haven't followed the broadcasting code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011-326-3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
And of course, we are just celebrating the very fact, and we are thanking him that he's with us. He's a good shepherd who takes care of us, and I can say without a doubt that he guides us. He guides us throughout, and we are thanking him that we are back on 657 AM. He is the one who will continuously stay with us, our Father, Yahuwah, our Elohim. And before we go to our guests, man, and, you know, just to celebrate a bit, let me welcome them. Muruti Mraka, greetings to you. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, my brother, for welcoming us to the show. And greetings to yourself, Pastor Kabamba, as well as the other guests that we'll be featuring tonight, plus the very, very important people, the listeners of Radio Pulpit. I greet in the mighty name of the Savior, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ruta. I really appreciate it. And we also have Professor Kabamba on the line. Professor, greetings. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, greetings. Thank you very much for having us again tonight. And I greet Muruti Muraka. And obviously all the guests that will be also, I mean, are part of us tonight. And our listeners are people that have been faithful to the radio. And we say a big thank you to also Radio Pulpit for hosting us every week. Thank you very much.
And are you well, Professor? It seemed to have rained yesterday. You must be happy.
Our side here, there was no rain.
Really? What?
Let me see, yesterday. There was no
okay.
Rain.
Day before yesterday, that was Monday, was there rain?
We had a bit of rain on Sunday.
What?
On Monday, it was just cold. Too bad. It was just cold, but we did not have rain, really.
It was raining like nobody's business this side, man.
Oh, yeah. This side, it was just cold. And yesterday, we woke up with a... it was just cold on Monday. Very cold.
We were seeing the sun for the first time since Saturday, today.
Actually. Wow. Wow.
We had some rain.
I wish that it was this side. I wish that the rain was this side because, hey, there was no rain.
Oh, okay. I thought, hey, yeah, you must be happy where you are. Very, very happy. Anyway, welcome to the show, sir. Welcome to the show. All right. We are back on 657 AM. You know, for the greater part of last week, we were off at the 657 and today, 657 AM. Today, since yesterday, we've been on. But today, it's one of those days, I should say, we're fully, fully on. And we are celebrating that. We'll get to the topic. So I said, just let's pray two songs just to thank the Father. And he had said when we ask him to stay with us, he will. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Here's a friend of mine who almost got amputated. But the Father helped. Rescued her. A situation just like us. Almost got cut off, man. The Father helped. Got us on.
Sitshele ukuthi ucabangani. Sicela ukuzwa uvo lwakho. Ungasithinta kugospel@radiopulpit.co.za noma usithumele iWhatsApp ku 0826572729. Radio Pulpit, umngani wakho wemihla ngemihla.
You're at 657 AM. Radio carrying 24 hours a day.
All right, Radio carrying 24 hours a day. Radio Pulpit, it is coming to you live. We trust the Father is doing you good, gracing you so much in a mighty way. You and I, the best of friends, man. This is happening throughout up to 8. And I want to give a shout out to Sibongile Gwacela. Sibongile Kashaka. Hey, Matata. We will be on with her tomorrow. Sibongile, look at the message. Look at your message. We will be on with you tomorrow talking about spiritual slumber. Tonight, it is about the issue of prosperity. And it is about that. The issue of prosperity and what it is even all about. So remember Sibongile, we call him Sbo Bass. She plays a bass guitar like no one else, man. You get into the spirit listening to her. Seriously. You get into the spirit listening to her. Now, she'll be on tomorrow. All right. Today, we're touching something that I think many people had been really looking into. And I want to invite you to a simple scriptural view to the prosperity gospel. A simple scriptural view to the prosperity gospel, what it is even all about. I want to know that. What do you say with regards to that? When we talk about the simple notion of prosperity, you know, the theological perspectives that we seem to be having even these days, what these are all about, it's something to look into, and I trust the Father will do you good, grace you so much in a mighty, mighty way. Right. And of course, also, I am talking to Muruti Karamuraka and also Pastor Samuel Kabamba. We are touching on this issue. We are touching on this issue quite massively, quite massively. Right. And of course, the very aspect of the scriptural basis of the prosperity gospel had become something, you know, much of the times we have been not looking into quite properly. And people have come in and given us what we call the prosperity theology. Because we trust them that they know the Bible, we had gone on with them. We had gone on with them. And we experienced it in the wrongest of ways. Now, when we speak of it, this one is about, you know, riches. You know, riches. Prides and all those kind of things. People testifying the kind of planes they have, the houses they have, the places of worship that they have, the monies they earn, and the kind of jobs they do, and all those things, you know. And basically, to a great extent, others have taken what the Father had been given them and converted it into a theory of a sort. Check this out. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15, it says, "But Jerusalem grew fat and kicked." It says, "You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese." Then he forsook Abba Yahuwah, who made him, and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Scornfully referring to Christ. They basically would be referring to their own efforts, that things are happening through them. The prosperity has come through them. So this is part one. I want us to be clear. This is part one of the prosperity theology, or the prosperity gospel. And I am talking of the attributes, the signs that are there, which would indicate that there is a prosperity theology and wicked spirits that propagate it against the acknowledgement of the grace of the Father. These things are coming through. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 5 says, "Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren have borne 7. And she," check it out, "and she who has many children has become feeble." The theological perspective of prosperity that we saw, or the prosperity theology, makes people to be feeble with regards to trusting the Father and relying on the Father. Because people had gone on to actually worship the graces that are upon them, what you would refer to as blessings that are upon them, and somehow had given themselves license of rights, that it is by right that I am getting what I am getting. I deserve it. And they start speaking quite a lot. I mean, there is the notion of settle for less. That notion, that theory, it's a theory, settle for less. It has its own aspects. Just like when you study Marxism, you'd see it's a theory. So this also is a theory of settling for less. This prosperity theology is a theory that is followed by many, even though that today men are not propagating it as prosperity theology. They still speak its principles, follow its principles, and apply its principles. It's still there. One guy who was shot, he used to be a fidelity guard, so he was shot, and then he was given what do they call this? Medical unfit, what do they call it, that and stuff. And he was given that. And someday he was talking to me, and then he said to me, "You know, ever since I got shot, I got lots of money, but that money started to wane." And he says, in the church, that is where he went to fellowship, and so he refers to as the church. He says, "In the church, you know, I used to get all these recognitions that you can ever imagine. All these recognitions that you can ever imagine, I was getting them." And says, "But when the money was starting now to show signs of not being there, gone, there were fewer hands that were shaking. Actually, there was no longer mention of him. Even amongst friends and people who would be talking, this guy would not be recognized." And he says, "That's why you see me sitting here in the park." I don't know if he's still alive, man. He was really, really injured. So as long as he was showing signs of the theology of prosperity that they were talking about, he was a good example to propagate the myth. To propagate the myth. Remember, theory has a myth. It has a myth. And the word myth in this context does not necessarily mean that which is not true. But it means an impression that one creates, which consolidates itself as fundamental to a particular idea that one is pushing. And we see that also with the propagation of the prosperity theology. It's a myth of wealth. As long as people dress right, as long as people come with the right cars, you know, they are parked in the most exclusive place that always gets publicity. We're not going to move on and listen to Shamsik. So I pack a lot of paper in young a pan, this is a little together when Jalim Motel Colum. And these are the things we see much of the times when it comes to the prosperity theology. Remember, the father says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future." We know the father wants to prosper us. But the manner in which this is propagated, it's like you are putting something in. There's a myth created. You are putting something in to incite the father to give you something back. You are putting something in so that you can incite the father to give you something back. And that's where we're at. That's what it is. And that's what we see these days. It is quite sad, I should say. We talk a bit after this.
Live life with us. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
657 AM, Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is gracing you so much in a mighty way. This is part one of it. Maybe the only part of it. We'll see how it ends. Moruti Mraka, let me give you this. And I'm just going to limit our guests to speak for less than 3 minutes each question. No longer 9 to 12 minutes. Less than 3 minutes each and every question, so that I can ask them as many questions as I can. Not that I'm rushing. But this is what production requires. Just as many questions, rather than to dwell on one question for 15 minutes. That's what I get being said. Let me start with you, Moruti Mraka. I'm looking at Psalm 17, verses 10. It says, "They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly." Yo, yes, I've got 3 planes. I've got 2 planes. I've got 5 cars. I've got 2 houses. I've got a farm in every province. It's because I know how to give. They give attributes to themselves. What comes to mind, Moruti Mraka?
Thank you, my brother. Number one, what comes to mind is that prosperity speaks to success, doing well. And like you said, it's a divine concept. It's not a human concept. So let's go to the Messiah to hear how he shows us this concept of prosperity. He shows that there is what you have been describing, my brother. A corruption of a degradation of prosperity, and he names it covetousness or greed. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he says, "Behold and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the excessiveness of the things he owns. This theology, which you have rightly described, my brother, at the beginning, that it has come to where it's about me wanting certain things, and even if I do use the word of God, I use it in such a way that it's about me in the center. Now, the Messiah says that is covetousness. That when you look at wanting to have an excess of things, to a point that we have misconstrued what he said in Luke chapter 6. I won't go there because I only got 3 minutes now. But here is true prosperity. Luke chapter 11, verse 34. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is generous, or when your eye is generosity, your entire body also is illuminated. But when it is wicked, your body also is dark. So when God causes us to prosper, to succeed, whether it is in whatever, not only money, anything that when he has placed here, us here on earth, we succeed therein, it is to be measured in terms of his will. Are we succeeding according to his will? And if one is sure, certain, that I am succeeding because of his will, then his will is be generous. That is the whole purpose of succeeding. You succeed in order to show the goodness of the Lord, testify to it by being generous. If in your heart you want to gather things to yourself, and you go to verses and you even point out to examples of whoever was successful in the Bible and miss that even in their success, their lives, their testimony is that they were generous, they were rich unto God.
I hear you. All right. I think that was less than 3 minutes. Anyway, thank you so much, Muruti. Thank you so much. It will allow me to ask you so many questions. Let me do a follow-up question before I go to Pastor Sam. Now, I heard you are talking about the true prosperity that it is, and then you're talking about a prosperity that is corrupted. Are you in the letter referring to the prosperity theology?
Yes. When I say a corrupted prosperity, I'm talking about that which is propagated by that theology. Let's go to verse 38 of Luke chapter 6, which many who propagate this kind of prosperity love this verse. They will say, the Lord said, give and it will be given to you, good measure,
pressed down,
taken together and running over, will be put into your bosom.
Anyway.
For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you.
Yeah.
Now, that verse, my brother, is in the middle of a discourse. Where did the discourse start? Now, I won't go right to where it starts, but I will just quote a few verses before verse 38 and then also some verses after verse 38.
Yes.
Now, verse 35 to 37 says this, but love your enemies.
Yeah.
Do good and lend, hoping for no return.
Mm.
And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Therefore, be pitying, just as your Father also is pitying. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Prosecute not, and you shall not be prosecuted. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Now, these are the things which the Messiah is saying. Give. Give in this fashion. Mm. Somebody needs forgiveness, give them forgiveness. Because you have been prospered by having the grace of God.
Mm.
If somebody has done something wrong against you, do not be quick to take them to God and prosecute them. That is what is being said here. Because once you do that, you forgive them, you don't pursue them, you are actually being generous. And then verse 39 says, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? Verse 40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is equipped will be as his teacher. Now, it is in that context that he is saying, the measure you use will be used back to you.
Yeah.
If we do anything, are we imitating the goodness of Yeshua HaMashiach, or are we imitating the wickedness of the people in the world? Therefore, we can't claim to be his disciples if we are not equipped to be like him, to imitate him. And if I say I am a teacher of the word of God, and I teach that kind of theology where it is about amassing things to myself, I'm a blind teacher. And what it means is, I am leading the blind, and we are both going to fall into a ditch.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate Muruti. Send us your WhatsApp, 0826572729. What do we mean when we are talking about the theology prosperity, or the theological prosperity, or the prosperity theology rightfully placed? That which basically seems to be the order of the day.
Get your daily bread, but also your faith in practice. It's 657 AM, the sounds of your life.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs, or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/radiopulpit.
Radio with higher purpose. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Open View 607. DSTV 882. And online at radiopulpit.co.za. Also, download our app and listen to our podcasts.
All right, let's talk now to Professor Samuel Kabamba. And I am looking at Psalms 22:29. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. Prosperity theology hides the fleeting incense of riches here on earth. that these are just temporal, which means these are time-based. And we can neither take them to eternity, neither can they make us to live eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an impression, even though they don't say it, like I say, in creating a theory, you really need to establish a myth about that theory. Most of the sciences are based on that. So that you start a discourse about this. The very notion of saying when you have abundance and when you're driving these German cars and all that, okay, these days it's Chinese. When you're driving these Chinese cars and all these expensive cars, it means you're prosperous. Actually, that's not the case, according to the word. But according to prosperity theology, you are actually in the favor of the Father. Even if you're just owing banks, you're on debt about this. It's referred to, it's a theory that masquerades to perpetuate an idea of a success that basically has become the cornerstone, if one can, of the Gospels of today. What say you, sir?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question, and thank you very much for the verse that you've given. And I say thank you as well to Muruti Muraka for the scripture he used in Luke 6.
I've been
really stressing about that scripture, and I've spoken to quite a lot of people, but you see the way people try to justify whatsoever they are doing by going around that scripture without the proper understanding. It's just so sickening to see that. But I love what Muruti Muraka said, the way the Messiah put it. It was not in the context that it is used in our churches today. And what you've just brought as well, you see that when you go to the book of Matthew, I love Matthew 6, also from verse 5, the Messiah speaking, and he made it so clear. That I love the way he put it, because you see prosperity in terms of success, in terms of, I mean, what people are pursuing, it's supposed, according to me, it's supposed to be a consequence or an outcome of something of something that is done properly. You see in the book of 3 John, the Bible speaking about that I want you to prosper as your, to be good as your soul prospers. It means that getting whatever we people are running after supposed to be the result of being in proper standing with God or in the right standing with God. And we read it sometimes, we just read and then we do not pay attention. This has been a scripture they've been using for a very long time. When you go to the book of Matthew 6, example, the very known scripture of Matthew 6 is 6:33. It says, well, seek you first the kingdom of God or the Father, and what will happen, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, all these things that people are running after. Now, in verse 25, of Matthew 6, here the Messiah is saying that, therefore I tell you, stop being worried and anxious or perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Is life not more important or more than food? Or the body more than what in clothing? Look at the bird. Now here, the Father, or through the Messiah, wanted to make people to understand that the things that you are running after, you're not supposed to run after that, because what is so important, that's what you are not considering. You are not really focusing on what is important. You are focusing on what has to be the result, or what has to come out of after you have become, after you have discovered or you have understood who you are. Very important. Now, today, you see churches based on what they push, because the focus is very important. What are we focusing on? When you focus on the wrong, whatsoever that we will do will push us to go and achieve the wrong that you are pursuing. Because today, every preaching I've heard people, sometimes it's even, I mean, sickening to see a pastor who can end up by saying, you know, you ending up telling people, no, you know what, I don't need your money. This is an example. I don't need your money. God will bless me in his own way. But in essence, what you are saying is, I need your money. Because by telling them, I don't need your money, God will bless me in his own way, you're telling them that they are not contributing to your well-being. And you are putting them, you are manipulating them by putting a guilt on them. So they may feel that, our man of God is not taking care of us. Let's do something. And this is another way of manipulating and getting something out of that. And the scripture that most of people use, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and it will be given back to you. But they don't really read that script, that word that says men shall give back to you. That means the same way you treat men, men also will treat you the same. But we take this scripture, we bring it on a Sunday service, on the offering time, and then people now feel that we are not giving more. We're supposed to give more so they may get more. That's what people think. Now, we now push them in a way of saying, if you bring 10 rand, it's not enough. 50 rand is not enough. 100 rand is not enough. You need to go more. 200, it's quite something. You can give that note of 200 because that is, it's pressed down, it's shaken together, and it will come back to you. And people feel as if they've never reached 200, they feel guilty whenever they come in the house where they claim to worship the Father. And they're not okay. Now, here now, the reason why people get to that place of giving the best or pushing to give the best, it's because they are focusing on what? On what they will wear, what they will eat. They're focusing on what, they will drive. You're talking about the Chinese cars. You're talking about, today, if you want to look a bit good, go to all those Chinese cars. You will find something that is just a wow, something.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, what people are pursuing is what they can get. You know, I learned something. I said, one's dignity is not in the things that you acquire.
Uh-uh.
One's dignity is in who you are.
Mm.
Because sometimes we don't realize. You think that our dignity is in what we have achieved, what we have acquired. But our dignity is in who we are in terms of our identity with our Father. Because what is so important for us to get to a place of compromising, as Muruti Muraka said, we brought corruption in the whole package, in the whole thing, is because our perspective and our pursuit is not to glorify the Father. It is for us to be seen, for us to be accepted, for us to be known that we have achieved or we have become. You know, any man of God today, any pastor, we've said it before, if you don't drive, today pastors have grown a bit high. If you don't drive a Mercedes, you're not good. And if you have to drive a Mercedes, it cannot be C-class.
Uh-uh.
A Mercedes must be E-class or S-class. But nowadays, because of, the C-class has become a bit nicer in terms of shape. No, if I can have at least a C-class, they can still respect me. But the bottom line is, it's not the glory that the Father will receive, but it is the accolade, it is the respect that I will get from the people who come. Because when they come to me, they say, he is somewhere. And if they have to treat me, they will treat me accordingly, according to what I have. And this is the kind of mind we have. And with that, we do not worry about the work of the Father, but we worry about what we can get. We worry about what we can achieve. We worry about what we can put on. We worry about what we can eat. And that's the kind of prosperity that has been presented and introduced to all of us. And we fit into that by not even thinking properly. As Paul will say, I think I'll touch on that as well, when he talked to the Romans, in Romans 12, he says, do not so adjust yourself in a culture that you don't even understand anything. We want to be into something, but not understanding the foundation of that. We don't understand what is so in there. By doing so, you are growing yourself, you are bringing yourself to its immaturity. That means you are bringing yourself down to the level of its immaturity. Meaning that we are missing it by not understanding what we're supposed to be focusing on, but we focus on the wrong.
Mm. I hear you quite well. Thank you so much, Professor. Let me do a follow-up question on what you just said. I see a prosperity theology is associated with a trend of backslidings. You know, in Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in his heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. We basically are filled with things that we refer to as things that we deserve. And somehow we say the Father was supposed to give those things to us because we deserve them. And we had gone on to brag about our accolades. And these have even destroyed our families. Our own achievements have become a curse to our families, to our children, to our ministries, even where we work. Bit by bit, people are starting to hate us because we have been prowling around, backsliding in terms of being satisfied from the Father. Now we are satisfied from the materials we have. What's your take there, shortly?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, we think that it's the material that makes us. As I said, speaking before, I said that it's not about what we have that we really, justify the kind of the Father we are serving. It's not about the achievement. It's about the heart. That's when Paul was speaking to the Romans, he says, you have to give yourself so that you give yourself as a living sacrifice in order to understand the will of the Father. Because the whole debate about us is not what we can achieve, what we can acquire. It's about who we have become in the Father. Mm. The moment you have been accepted and you live according to the Father's desire, whatever that will come, will be enough for your upkeeping. It will be enough for your well-being. You won't be there to compete with anybody. You're just going to be happy with what you have because the Father is the one that is leading you. Paul will say, be content with what you have. Mm. That's the bottom line. But today it's not the case. You cannot be content with what you have as long as when I check around, if we have to go to a meeting today, Muruti Ray has to show up with a BMW, that I have to show up with something that does not even have a name. I would rather do what? Go maybe to buy a car, so that we may be in the same level. And this is what, that's a corruption that has entered in the church in such a way that even when we invite each other, I cannot invite you if you are not known. Yeah. You need to be known for me to invite you. And it becomes a problem in a way.
Hi, Mrit. I hear you. I hear you. You have to be known in order to be invited these days. So you can't, even if you're coming to speak nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're coming to say nothing, you know, I heard someone saying that in Parliament, said some people are saying nothing. So even if you say nothing, just because you're famous, you comply with the myth of prosperity, you become invited. Yeah.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Right, your daily companion, Radio Pulpit it is. We trust the Father is doing you good, gracing you in a mighty way. And of course, we're looking at the prosperity theology. Let's go straight into Cape Town. And in Parliament, let's talk to God's girl, Julia Mamaria Sefako. Welcome to it, and good evening to you. Thank you for making time for us.
Good evening, Brother Ray, along with your listeners. Thank you so much for the topic on the gospel of prosperity. Maybe let's also unpack this word, gospel. Gospel is the good news. It is actually one of the armor. If we look at Ephesians 6, it does talk about the shoes of the gospel of peace. It is something that we should be armed with as the body of Christ. In other words, we should be ready at any point to speak the gospel. But should it just be about prosperity? Maybe let's find out as we digest and go through the word. So the word prosperity, and we should really purely look at biblical definitions, given that this is a biblical discussion. Is this discussion in the kingdom of God? 1 Chronicles 29:10-13. It says a lot about prosperity, maybe even beyond just prosperity. It talks about critical attributes of God. It says that He is our Father forever. That's verse 10. Verse 11 says, to Him belongs greatness, power, glory, victory, majesty. It further says that all that is in heaven and earth is His. His is the kingdom, and He is exalted over all. Verse 12 says that riches, honor comes from Him, and that He reigns over all these things. Power, might is His, and in His hands is to make great and to give strength to all. Verse 13 says that we therefore thank Him for His glorious name and all the attributes that that name denotes. So I think this is a very rich capture of not just prosperity, but way beyond prosperity. It also reveals that indeed the riches of God, the power, His majesty, His glorious splendor, are just beyond comprehension of our minds. He is sovereign. So therefore, prosperity, the way I see it, if it becomes a gospel, it should really be a communication of who God is, as captured in the scripture that I've just read. It should communicate that He is that. And given that we are His children, we should understand that He therefore owns everything, and that whatever we have in our lives, we are expected to purely exercise stewardship. We actually spoke about this last week, the issue of stewardship. Therefore, can then prosperity be a gospel? Partially, yes. It should be an aspect of what we communicate God to be. As I've read, He has those riches, glory, and everything. And therefore, when we are His children and we are doing His work, we should not be comfortable with struggle, scarcity, etc., because God, as rich as He is, He will fund His work. There is no government ray that will ever give you policy priorities, strategies, etc., and never mention the issue of funding. Therefore, the greatest government, which is the government of Yahweh, is a funded government. It's funded by Yahweh Himself through these riches that we have just gone through. He doesn't lack anything. He owns a cattle in a thousand hill. therefore he will fund his work. Mm. But it's also maybe an imbalance of some sort to just go through preaching and purely preach prosperity. We should communicate to believers that it is not okay to undergo scarcity and lack. Mm. And we should also preach the message of stewardship. Mm. But to purely make gospel a prosperity thing, I think will be shortcutting and really downplaying the rich capture of the realities of the kingdom of God, because they're really way above just prosperity. Let's go to Revelations 5 verse 12. I think it's a repeat really, but beautifully captured of the wealth that God has. Now it is talking about Jesus Christ. It says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessings."
Yeah.
Therefore, this is another communication that indeed God does not lack, or his kingdom does not lack. It is a kingdom of sufficiency.
Mm.
Therefore, his work will be funded. And the thing that we should communicate about prosperity is the efficiency that resources can bring in order for us to go and do his work. Mm. And does God want us to prosper? Yes, he does. I think there's also an imbalance whereby it is preached that it's not okay to be blessed financially, materially, and otherwise. I'm telling you, it's easier to serve God with resources than without. In fact, I have served God without resources.
Mm.
It was harder.
Yeah.
I was also at a point where I did serve him with resources. And honestly, it was easier. It is more efficient. So since we are servants in the government of Yahweh, we should not see prosperity as something to brag about or anything. We should really see it from a point of God is resourcing his work so that we could be more efficient. We could access things like computers, worship instruments. I don't know what else. We need things that really will make this experience an enjoyable one. Mm. Ray, there were times where we would go, I mean, intercessor. As intercessors, I mean, in those days of struggle, we would go intercede the whole night.
Mm.
No snack, and we are not even fasting. No snack, no water, no coffee, no tea.
Oh, no.
And yes, we love the Lord, and we didn't even complain about that. I remember we spent the whole night praying. It was beautiful. It was wonderful.
Mm.
But, you know, we didn't even have a heater. We didn't have blankets. It was cold. It was harsh. It was harder.
Yeah.
And yet there was a time where the Lord had blessed us and we served him in a comfortable place. There were snacks. There was water, tea, coffee. The two environments, yes, we were still serving God. But the other one was more enjoyable because it was resourced.
Mm. Mm.
Yes, what I'm saying is, Ray, we should serve God either way. But prosperity does make his work easier. And when it lands in our hands as believers of God, let us see it like that. Let's see prosperity as a tool for efficiency. It's not something we should derive identity from or anything like that. But it should really be that it is for speed and doing the work of God quicker and with joy.
Mm. Sure.
I want to just give you an example. I think the point I was making earlier is that God does rejoice in his in the prosperity of his servants. Mm. And also, even as we enjoy the labor more, the labor of God more when we have resources. And we do things quicker when we have cars, comfortable properties, etc., the work is done more efficiently. All right. There is a child of God who had prosperity. His name is Hezekiah. We find him in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 27. It is an example of that God can bless somebody exceedingly. Even Abraham, there's many examples of people who are blessed by God. It says that Hezekiah had very great wealth and honor. So it just shows that God can bless someone. And the issue of stewardship should immediately come into play. And the issue of kingdom-mindedness, knowing that all these things are expedient to us, for us to do the work of God with more happiness. There's a prayer in 3 John 2 that talks about the prosperity. It says, I pray that you may prosper in every way, that your body may keep well, even as your soul keeps well and prospers. So God wants us to prosper in every way, to prosper in achieving or completing the assignments and the mandates that he has for us here on earth, to prosper in health, to not be sickly, etc., to prosper in our souls. It's written, I think it's one of the scriptures that us as Bazalwani, we read quite a lot. So yes, definitely, without a doubt, God would like us to prosper. And prosperity can manifest in many ways. One may not necessarily have money or cash, but they can definitely have access to good health, not needing to go to hospital or accessing expensive medication, etc. And that in itself is prosperity. Or you could have a prosperity of a sound mind, good decision making, ability to just with your decision making, you make things easier, quicker, more efficient. The way you would choose maybe a location to stay in, a property to purchase, the way you would even advise in the work of God in things like that. It's just, it will be a capture or a reflection of the richness of one's mind. Let me end it there, Ray. Oh, with time. My goodness, I went like double the time.
It's okay. It's okay.
God bless you, Bazalan.
Thank you so much, Julia Maria Sifako. I could see you trying to pull the balance, you know, and we are touching on the issue of the prosperity theology, what it is even all about, what we've come to see even these days. Send us a WhatsApp, 082657-2729. Let's hear what you say.
Tapelo ya motho yo lokileng ena le matla. Tswela pele go rapelela Radio Pulpit moshumong o re o dirang Afrika Borwa le ka ntle ga melwane ya yona.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, true, authentic, Christian radio.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.